Well, the embattled pastor of an Atlanta area megachurch says that he will address a deepening sex scandal from the pulpit. Bishop Eddie Long has 25,000 followers at the New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. He says that he'll talk to his congregation at the church on Sunday. As you know, three men have filed lawsuits claiming Long coerced them into sexual relationships. Long's attorney denies those allegations and dismisses these photos that have now emerged in the wake of the scandal. Rainbow attorney TV. B.J. Bernstein, who represents the three men named in the lawsuits, said that Long actually sent these photos of himself wearing tight shirts to the fourth man not named in the litigation. She says it's just an example of inappropriate conduct. Church members say that the image of Long that they embrace is the mentor and the spiritual counselor who has helped young people in need.
God told me to tell you, he just told me to shake your hand. And this was a sign he was giving you a new hand. Whatever hand you played before, he's dealing you a whole new fresh hand. Go where he directs you. Your yesterday can't bother you. In Jesus' name.
I've been shot three times. I've sold all the drugs you could ever sell and made all the money you could possibly ever make. BMF is tattooed on the back of my neck. That stands for Black Mafia Family. And that's the life I used to live. And God brought me from that. I've been going to even when I was in the life, I've always come to New Birth. Even when it started on Snapfinger, I always came, no matter what. This has always been my dad. When I didn't have no dad, this always been my dad. I might can't call him, I might don't have his number or his text or nothing, but it's my father right here.
Ringo TV.
Pretty powerful stuff. You know, late yesterday, Bishop Long posted a message to his supporters as well on Twitter. It reads, "Thanks for all your prayers and support. Love you all." Well, Eddie Long built his church from a mere 300 members to the 25,000 people who now call it their spiritual home. And our next guest actually joined the church because he believed in Bishop Long and has come to see him as his spiritual father. Cornelius Best, Jr. is also studying to be a minister. He's a grad student at the Interdenominational Theological Center, and he goes by CJ. CJ, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I know it's not
an
easy thing to talk about.
It's not.
And let me ask you, I mean, there's no doubt that Eddie Long has helped hundreds and hundreds of young men. You're one of them.
Yes.
Tell me what drew you to Bishop Long and what kind of impact he made on you.
Well, what drew me to New Birth initially was the fact that he delivered the word in such a way that I was able to understand it. Not only was I able to understand it, but I was able to identify with the struggles in the Bible. And he is a very sound preacher. And I do respect the fact that he is a very sound preacher.
Now, were you a troubled kid? I mean, we just saw the healing that was going on there in the church. You know, he said he was shot. He was a part of the gang, and he didn't have a father, that Eddie Long was his father. What kind of background did you come from? Did you need a spiritual father in that way, or was it different for you?
Well, it was different for me because I was fortunate enough to be raised in a two-parent household. My parents raised and instilled great values within me growing up. So from that aspect, I wasn't in need of that. But one thing I do take hold of as a future preacher, because I'm at the Interdenominational Theological Center, I do take hold to leadership and ministry. And I felt like that church was a great example of what a ministry should be and how it should run.
So it's been a very positive experience.
Yes.
For you.
Yes.
Now, and I'm going to get to some tough questions, and you know, you be as candid as you can.
Yes.
With me. You know, a lot of these allegations coming forward, these boys said that they went through a covenant ceremony, a marriage ceremony, where Eddie Long became their father, and it was this whole, they were given gifts and special blessings and material things. Is that true? Is that what happens with each one of you as you become a part of his youth ministry?
I've never experienced that since I've been there, and I frankly don't know about that. Being a member of the church...
So you've never heard about that?
No, never heard about that.
That came out of the blue to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But being a member of the church, what type of relationship did you build with him? Did he give you any one-on-one attention?
I met Bishop on two different occasions, but I never had a one-on-one encounter with Bishop as far as, you know, us having a conversation. But from the time that I did meet him, met him, hug him, and I shook his hand, and he was a very nice guy, very stand-up individual.
Anything inappropriate or uncomfortable in your eyes?
No.
Okay, so now we're seeing these pictures, hearing these allegations. How does that make you feel when you see that? What goes through your mind? Are you doubting? Are you in no way believing it? What's your first instinct?
Well, as number one, a believer of the faith, you don't want to see that. You don't want to see your pastor go through this situation. And you don't, more importantly, you don't want to see the young men go through this. But more than anything else, my heart has been for his family, for the family of the individuals, for the families of the young men, because of the fact that we're focusing on Bishop. But the bigger issue here is he's married. And the fact that he disobeyed the covenant of marriage, if this is true.
Right.
Now, that's of course assuming that if it's true, and you know, we're going to see how it all plays out. But as a believer, we don't want to believe it's true. We don't want to.
Okay, so let me ask you, what if he comes forward and says, I'm gay? How will that strike you? Have you thought about that?
And
is that in the back of your mind, that it's very possible he may have a confession?
Yes, and very well so. And I believe that this is a time where the church needs to have that conversation as a whole. So often we shy away from it, and now I think it's time for us to address it. When Jesus came on the earth, Jesus included everybody within salvation. Now, it goes back to the placeholder question of is homosexuality right or wrong, and you know, I'm not going to get into that.
Right.
But the fact is, no matter where we come from in life, no matter who we are, it is our job as preachers to deliver the gospel in such a way that it includes everybody, that no one is excluded from that. So no matter what your struggle is, if you lie, if you cheat, you steal, Jesus is offered to you.
So you're going to go to church on Sunday.
Yes.
He's going to be at the pulpit.
Yes.
What is it that you want to hear from him?
I want to hear the truth.
Ringo TV.
I want to hear the truth, and whether the truth is if it's false or whether the truth is of it if it happened. But no matter what happens, it's not what I want to hear. It's what the congregation needs to hear. My heart is for the bigger picture. It's not for me personally, because my relationship with God is independent than my relationship with Bishop. Bishop has been an agent to deliver the word for my faith. And I want to differentiate that difference, that he's been the agent to deliver the word. My relationship with God is my relationship with God. And I hope that when it's all said and done, that those who have relationships with God, that they're not affected, and that they get the full truth of the matter.
You know, you mentioned something very interesting. You said that the issue of homosexuality is something that needs to be addressed.
Yes.
Is this something that in the black church, because I've heard it from a number of people, obviously, within a number of different mega churches, that this is an issue that black men just don't want to talk about. It is just on the down low.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? And why do you think it needs to be talked about more?
I think it comes down to the fact that we must be, number one, comfortable with our own sexuality. And I think that the reason why we don't want to talk about it is because it's an uncomfortable conversation to have. The uncomfortability of it is, you know, we don't want to be viewed as or condoning homosexuality, or we don't want to be viewed as, you know, I'm homophobic. It's two different sides of the spectrum. So, the church takes a very careful stance within that. But I do think, in fact, that as we have that conversation, we can put those things on the forefront. And you'd be surprised as to what can happen if you just address an issue at hand. If you just kind of, if you don't address it, then you never know what can happen, what the effects can be. But if you just address it, it can have that much of a difference.
It's like the truth can set you free.
Exactly.
if indeed this is true.
Exactly.
And in no way are we saying that it is. We're talking about these allegations, and if indeed they do prove true,
yes,
it's going to have a huge impact.
Absolutely.
On a lot of people.
Absolutely.
How do you think the church will respond? Let's say he steps up to the pulpit and he said, I've sinned. I did do this with this young man, but I need your forgiveness and I need your support. And he is truthful, if indeed this is true.
Happened.
Yeah. How do you think the church will respond? How will you and the other young men that he has mentored, how do you think they'll respond?
Well, I would expect for the believers in the faith, not even just members of the church, but the faith as a whole, to look at the bigger picture to understand, okay, if it is true, and we don't want this to be true, we have to look at it on a bigger scale to say, if this is happening to the point to where it's going on with young men, what makes me think this is not happening on a bigger scale? So I believe that if this comes out to be true, then it's going to be an eye of scrutiny from the believers, which I believe that when it all comes down to it, it's all dependent upon your relationship with God, and it's all about your independent relationship with God, independent of what our relationship with Bishop is. So I think it is, if it's true, it's going to shake things up, and I think it's going to be a shaking membership, and I think a lot of people are going to question a lot of leaders, and that's why I believe it's a responsibility for future leaders like myself and other preachers to uphold the integrity and uphold the moral and ethical standards that were set in the New Testament with Jesus.
I'm thinking of other really well-known, in particular, I'm thinking of Tonet, the gospel mm-hmm. singer, and he sold out at these mega churches. He was huge within the black churches, in the gospel community, and, you know, he came forward and said, I'm attracted to men, and mm-hmm. he dealt with that, and he was completely shunned. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people thought, well, maybe that, because of his influence and power within the community, that would change minds and start a conversation. Is it going to take someone like Bishop Long's stature, his reputation, someone like that to actually start a conversation that will, I don't know, maybe be more revealing or honest on this subject matter?
Well, the Tonet situation was big for the reason that he was basically saying that I am homosexual and I still serve in ministry. So basically embracing the lifestyle of homosexuality, which comes down to the place whole question, is homosexuality wrong or right?
Got it. Which
now,
gets into the whole biblical discussion,
exactly,
where you stand.
Which,
okay.
Which is a theological discussion to have. But now I believe that the Bishop Long situation, if it does come out to be true, what comes to surface is the fact that, okay, it does happen.
Right.
This is happening. We can no longer sidestep this.
Right.
This is a prominent leader. This is a great man of God, and this is what he's struggling with.
Right.
And from that aspect, it's eye-opening.
I tell you what, you're going to church on Sunday. You're going to listen to what he has to say. Mm-hmm. Will you come back on Monday and tell us how it went, how you're feeling, if it's changed your mind, and where your heart is at that point?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. I'll see you on Monday, okay, CJ.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks.